He got good.
All the cuties back in the cage.
Not yet.
We have two cats and we're fostering a cat. And it gave a whole new meaning to trying to herd cats. I love my two dearly, and I really do love the foster cat because it's their sister, but it's not our cat. And so I'm trying not to get too head over heels in love with that one. And at the moment, she's helping me. Like, I'll show you right here. Right there. Multiple times she helped me. Go ahead.
Trustee Dave, if I could just say to all the ladies that go to Dollar Tree, if you guys come across the stands, you can grab some of this film and you can
see it. Cool. Yeah, they got them at the Dollar Tree. Fan. It got good.
All the time.
God, get your Bible out. And Sam Tanya, D.C. had nothing what to do with mine. Well, I had it. Let's see if I can find it.
D.C.'s got it.
I wouldn't doubt it. He got my diploma.
Dr. B.C.
That's not, everybody's got him Dr. Junior. He won an award last night at the fireman's ball. And then the guy looked and said, well, yeah, they were laughing. I said, why did they laugh about it? And said, you should have put Dr. B.C. Junior up there. All right. Get your Bible out. Again, y'all had no idea. And there it is. Held by hope. D.C. had no idea. And look at your Mighty Army this morning. D.C., when someone starts up, he was singing, if you got your Mighty Army this morning, let's see. It said, Mighty Army, one prayer can shift what years of worry never could. Never underestimate a simple, sincere prayer. Ask Peter when he was sinking. He didn't get on his knees and start quoting scripture. He was up to his neck in water, hollering, Lord, save me! That's right, save me! All right, some of y'all hear it now and say, save me, Lord, save me! Yeah, and then Johnny tried to cut his leg off with a chainsaw yesterday, but God healed it back. He only got 10 stitches. Yeah, that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Glad God saved your leg. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. We're going to read this and pray, and then we have a special time today. It's been hard. It's so hard to decide what to put in the sermon, what not to put in the sermon. I worked in the sermon till 2 something in the morning and got up this morning and worked on it for another hour. So I weren't sure. Maybe an hour and a half. I wasn't sure exactly what to put where because there's so much information here, and I felt like you needed all of it. So it looks kind of crowded. It'll be okay. Ready? Don't look around and say if it's crowded, it'll be okay.
It's crowded.
All right. Ready? Stand up. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Everybody got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't, say amen. And then just tap the person beside you and say, can I read with you? Verse 13. Now the God of hope shall fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the prayer of the Holy Ghost. Stretch your hand this way. Ask God for a special touch. And Lord, Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you've done in our life. I thank you, God, that you are more than enough in every situation that we're in. And no matter what, you're a powerful God. And we trust you in all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the Lord said, God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Give me my hands out. Let's pray. You be seated. I think I'll be seated too. One, look, I went and got my knee shot, and the shot my kneecap out. So, modern medicine. I think I've done better just to wrap it in duct tape.
Amen.
That's right. Duct tape would have took care of. Maybe put some kerosene on it. That's what my grandma said to my daddy. No matter what they did, it was kerosene and chicken wire they had. They couldn't afford duct tape. All right, I was thinking about D.C. and Daniel last night, And I was talking about hope, and this is y'all gonna like this, maybe, maybe not, but I can't tear it in the book because it's their life, okay? They were fussing one day. They were fussing. Lord knows they were fussing. And Daniel was 9, D.C. D.C. was 12, okay? And so Daniel, 9 years old, did something really dumb, and D.C. called him a moron. None of y'all ever called your sisters morons, had your brothers. All right, none of you ever called your husbands or wives that day? I hope not. He said, D.C. said, you are a moron, and there's no hope for you. And he looked at D.C. and said, D.C., don't you know anything? Then D.C. told, or Daniel told D.C., said, he looked up moron in the dictionary. The definition of a person, of a moron, is a person who has the intelligence of a 12-year-old. So 9-year-old Daniel said, thanks for the compliment. He said, now I know there's hope for me. Amen. Thank God, good. I love to hear my look. One day, D.C. and Daniel right there, they were baptizing cats. We're trying to. That was the biggest commotion I've heard in my life. And they were baptizing cats out in the yard. Those cats were screaming and hollering. And I said, what are y'all doing? They said, we're playing church. I said, what you doing to the cats? They said, we're baptizing. You can't baptize cats. They said, Daddy, they wouldn't be baptized. They shouldn't have joined our church. All right. We're going to talk about something being held by hope. You know, hope is a big thing, and in this day and time that we live, there's not a lot of things giving out hope. You can't turn any channel, any news, anywhere, any kind of news agency you want to listen to, no matter what channel, I can't seem to find any hope. And I go and I look, and you walk in Walmart, and you walk out in the parking lot, and you're being stopped 2 or 3 or 4 times for people that are panhandling. And there's just all kinds of stuff. And speaking of that, one day, I may have told you this one night. It was like 10 o'clock at night, maybe 9 o'clock, and this guy drove one of his bicycles. I was getting out. I was in a hurry. I was wearing my chaplain hat. He goes, hey, can I talk to you, man? I said, I know you need money, right? He said, how'd you know that? And I said, I tell you what, I'm not going to give you any money. Will you? Hungry? Yes, I'm hungry. I said, let's go to Walmart. And so we got at the front door and he stopped like it was going to get shot. I said, come on in. He said, I can't. I said, why? I said, they kicked me out last week. Told me I couldn't ever come back in. I said, you hang by me. See that hat? It says chaplain. You just tell anybody that sees you with the chaplain, just stay right beside you with the chaplain and it'll be okay. He hung up beside me, right beside me. He walked in. He had to be about 70 years old. He walked right beside me, hung by me. And he stopped. I just said, nobody says anything, right? He stopped 20 people. And said, I'm with the chaplain. Look, y'all, I'm with the chaplain. He told customers, he told kids, he told, I don't think I ever told anybody to work there. I'm with the chaplain. I said, son, can we finally get out? I told him, we can get what you need so we can get out of here. And on the way out, he still told people, I'm with the chaplain, I said, I got to mark that down. We'll never take you to Walmart again. Just sit in the parking lot waiting for him. All right. Today, like I said, I just didn't know where to put what. I didn't know how to write this, so I just went ahead and as it was working, I wrote it. And just kept writing. So if there's a lot of stuff up there, it's because we needed a lot of stuff, okay? And plus at 2 o'clock in the morning, it looks fine to me. Amen. All right. Today, it's not church as usual. It's not church. In fact, today it's not ordinary. Today is not routine. Today is just not just another service, okay? Why? Because I promise you, if you're here today, it's a divine appointment. Why do I know that? Because all these songs, D.C. had no idea what I was preaching on today, and all those songs were about hope and about prayer and about trusting God and the Mighty Army. Well, of course, I knew about the Mighty Army, but the Mighty Army went in with his songs, and it went in with this morning's message. But some of you walked in here today. Watch this. Don't raise your hand, but I promise you, one of y'all going to find yourself in here. Some of y'all walked in here with a smile on your face. But a storm in your soul. Some of y'all walked in here smiling on the outside, suffocating on the inside. You clapped your hands, but you're carrying a weight so heavy in your heart. You've been worshiping with your mouth, but even while you worshiped and said, I trust God, you were worrying about that problem that you thought about and kept you awake last night, got you up in the middle of the night, and got you up this morning, and you weren't even sure you were coming to church because the weight of that worry was all over you. I want to promise you something right now. This is a promise. I love that. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now that word hope means a confident expectation. That word joy means to be full of an unexplainable, awesome calmness and awesome joy inside of your heart. But that word peace is so powerful because that word peace means to join together that which has been separated. And I can promise you, first off, when you were a sinner, your sin separated you from God, and because of Calvary, that which was separated was put back together. But also, some of you in here, because of things you're going through, you've allowed your worry, you've allowed your problems, you've allowed the things that you're thinking about to tear you up and to cause you not to hear the voice of God. And because you couldn't hear the voice of God, literally, while you're worshiping, you were still separated from what God wants to do. And God says, I want to bring you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And I want to put your mind and your heart and your spirit back in order so you can hear from me. So now, here it goes. And again, I've got a lot up there, but that's okay. It's, again, y'all told me it was okay just a few minutes ago. The God of hope is in this room. Romans 15 and 13 declares, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, today, tonight, it was last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, it was tonight, okay? Tonight, God doesn't want to give you just a little hope. Amen? Not just a little dabble, do you? God doesn't want to give you a little hope. He don't want to give you a temporary hope. He don't want to give you a Sunday only hope. He wants to fill you. He wants to overflow you. He wants to saturate you with hope. Hope is spiritual oxygen. And when you've got that spiritual oxygen, you can move in a very powerful way. God just doesn't want to lift your heart. He wants to establish in your mind in the things that he's got for you. Now, I read a story about a deep sea diver. All right, it's perfect for this message right here. A story about a deep sea diver. A deep sea diver said, I don't dive because the water is deep. I dive because the oxygen line gets cut. The boat is surrounded by water, but being surrounded by water does not sink that boat. It's when that boat gets full of water, then it sinks. The same way, you can't cut that oxygen line. Some of you aren't drowning because life is deep. You're drowning because you've been cut off from your source of hope. You've been cut off from the power of God. You've been cut off from the word of God. You've been cut off in such a way that all you can hear is static. I was talking to my dad this morning. Something was wrong with his phone. And I called him 7 times. I finally got him on the line, and he was going in and out, in and out. I was hearing every other word. And I said, Daddy, we're going to have to hang up today. He said, no, let's try something else. Let's try something else. Finally, he'd get back up. We'd be talking, and he would disappear again. And I thought about that. It's kind of odd that that happened this morning, because that's what's happening to a lot of people in here today. There's a lot of static in your mind. There's a lot of things happening in your mind that is tearing you apart. But remember, God is reconnecting that line. God is restoring your oxygen. And remember, we see tonight, that's 2 o'clock in the morning. And God is breathing hope back in you. Somebody say, God's breathing, and I can feel it. God's breathing hope, I can feel it. Say it. God is breathing hope, I can feel it. Say it again. God is breathing hope, I can feel it. Amen. Let's see here. Let's get this thing going good here. Hope, holding on to God's promises every day. Wow, that's powerful. Amen? So the God of hope, it has a source. God doesn't say God gives hope. He says God is hope. God doesn't have power. God is emotion. Amen. Listen carefully. Hope is not emotion. It's an attribute of God. How you feeling? Well, I've been feeling a whole lot better, but I didn't feel so bad. Let me tell you something. Hope is not an emotion. Just because you and your wife aren't getting along, just because you and your kids aren't getting along, just because you're having problems at work, it does not stop your hope. That little stuff brings emotion, but hope is not an emotion. It is an attribute of God and is given freely unto us. Hope is not a feeling. It's a force that flows from His nature. So tonight, if you're having a problem today with this, you've lost sight of Him. So here's our little PowerPoint. Ready? Here we go. Here it goes. Hope is not found in circumstances changing. Hope is found in Christ remaining.
Amen.
How many of you say, if I could just get another job, if I could just get another spouse, if I could just get another house, if I could just get whatever, I'd feel better. No. Hope is not found in circumstances changing. Hope is found when you let Christ move in you and do in you what He wants to and desires to do in you. He wants to do a new work, a powerful work, one that you'll know that it was God when He moved in. Amen? Y'all say this to me. Hope is not found in circumstances changing.
Hope is not found in circumstances changing.
Hope is found in Christ remaining.
Hope is found in Christ remaining.
Amen. A lighthouse. How many's ever seen a lighthouse? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Bethany, one of her rashes, well, she wanted to go to the lighthouse, but she was so sick, she couldn't go. So when we cremated her, we took her ashes to the lighthouses. And it was such a wonderful thing to be able to at least put her ashes out on those lighthouses. I said, girl, you may not have got a chance to go, but you'll always be here now. Amen. Very powerful, powerful thing. A sailor once said, in the darkest storm, I don't look at the waves. I look for the lighthouse. You see, the waves move. The wind moves. The clouds move. But the lighthouse never, ever moves. God is our lighthouse. Amen. Everything around you can be shifting. He doesn't move. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful illustration in our lives. Here's the challenge. Ready? Listen carefully what you think about this. What has your attention right now? Your storm or your Savior? Don't raise it anymore. You can watch two people, a man and a wife, two kids, two people working at the same place, going through the same thing, and one's got a smile, one's got a quiet hope, and the other's torn to pieces. Why? Because one's watching the storm, and the other's watching the sun. What are you magnifying? The mountain or the waymaker? I love this. It was so cool. Waymaker, I'm telling you, you'd have thought that we'd gotten together beforehand. All right. Hope is the heartbeat of the soul. Fill you, listen to this, fill you with all joy and peace. You see, hope has fruit. Hope produces something. God fills you with hope. When He fills you with hope, He fills you with joy, strength for your spirit, peace, stability of your mind. Joy is the shout of hope. How many in here, you ain't got to raise your hand, but how many in here can stand some strength for your spirit? How many here can stand some stability for your mind? Ask God to give you hope. Ask God to help you stand in hope. You see, peace is the stillness of hope. Hope doesn't just lift your heart. It stabilizes your mind. Little girl riding on the train all by herself up at the front of the car. They're going through mountains, and they're going up, and they're going down, and there's a treacherous storm. And the water has filled the gullies, and the water's splashing over the track. People are frightened, they're screaming, and the other girl's sitting on the front. kicking her legs, holding her titty back. Just, well, everybody's screaming. They can't figure out why she's sitting on the front kicking that leg and holding that titty back and smiling. And finally somebody said, "Girl, how can you be so calm? Don't you see the storm?" She said, "Yes, sir." So, "Don't you see the water coming over the tracks?" She said, "Yes, sir." Said, "Well, how can you be so calm?" She said, "Because my daddy's the engineer." Sometimes you got to think about God is taking care of you, no matter what. Some of y'all can relate to this coming up. I love it. Some of y'all might get it. God uses broken. How many of you have broken? You can put your hands up now. They're broken all kinds of ways. All right. A pastor once visited a woman. Come on. A pastor once visited a woman who said, "Pastor, I feel empty. I feel cracked. I feel like God can't feel me." And he picked up that cracked cup and he placed it under a running faucet and said, "It may leak, but it'll still fit." Stop for a minute and think about it. You may feel cracked today, but you can still feel broken. But guess what? God can still heal you. Amen. God can still pour into you. Matter of fact, the best people to get the help that God uses are people who's got cracks. Amen. You know why? Because if you got a crack, then God in you shines through. Amen. Amen. So, ready? Here's a challenge and a question. We'll stop for a minute. Just think about this. Are you letting God fill you? Are you letting life drain? Just think about it for a minute. Very powerful thought. There is surely a future for you, a future and a hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Believe in God. In believing, hope has a condition. Hope flows through believing. Now I'm going to make some people maybe a little uneasy right now. I believe in leadership. I love leadership. I've taught leadership all my life. Those boys, you know how DC and Daniel, when they were little, when they wanted money? As soon as they could read, they want money. I'd say, "How much do you want?" And they would tell me, I'd say, "Okay, here's a $5 book. Read it. You got $5. Here's a $10 book. Here's a $20 book. You read that book. Give me a real report on it. You ain't got the right. You just tell me. Give me a report. And you can get the money." They read more and more. They read the Bible. They read John Maxwell books. They read all kinds of leadership books all their life. So I really believe strong in leadership and developing yourself and getting stronger inside. So don't misunderstand me here. Hope flows through believing, not believing in yourself unhelpfully. Let that sink. I believe in myself, but I also believe that if I ain't got God, I can't do it. I remember asking Brother Haston one time, I said, "Brother Haston," I said, "when will these butterflies ever stop?" And he looked at me and said, "Brother David." Y'all remember how he talked? "Brother David." He said, "When the butterflies stop, step out of the pulpit and go sit in your prayer closet because you ain't there." He says, "Because then you're trusting in yourself more than you're trusting in God." Not believing in luck. I don't believe in luck. Not believing, you know what, Friday the 13th? I want to try to find a black cat, kiss that rascal. I was not scared. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? I want to try to be funny. I can't even call the tabby cat. Look. Here we go. Believe in God who cannot lie. Here's the PowerPoint. Ready? Hope grows where faith is planted. Say it out loud. Hope grows where faith is planted. Say it again. Hope grows where faith is planted. Amen? Don't quit while there's life. Anna Lane has a cat called Rooster. Rooster is a great little big black and white cat, got a mustache. He was an awesome cat, always having fun, always jumping all around. And he got cancer in one of his arms. And they cut off his arm. And I thought, how's that cat going to get around with only one arm? How's he going to do the things he used to do in the prowl and getting up and going? And you know what? You can't even judge everything taken off. Yeah. It just goes and it goes and it goes. You never can tell. He's lost that limb. Look, where that little seagull, he's lost his leg. Don't quit. There's always hope. Y'all are all kind of, all of us. Look, how many else say it at 2:30 this morning? All right, get ready. Get ready. Abound means to overflow, to run over, to spill out, to be more than enough. The Bible promises that your cup, Psalm 23, your cup will run over. You know what that means? That your saucer is blessed. My granddaddy Glenn, I didn't understand, I do now, I didn't understand it. We got it working in the bathroom. We come in, we all about to die. We got water, more water all over from trying to cool down. And my granddaddy's sitting up on the front porch drinking a cup of coffee. And he had a great old bed cup of coffee that looked like a bowl. And for a saucer, it was a bowl. And he'd pour and he'd pour until it went over the cup and filled up the bowl. And he'd be sipping out of that bowl and sipping out of the bowl. And he'd pour some more in that bowl and he'd sip out of that bowl. And I thought it was the craziest looking thing. Fly get in, he'd blow the fly out. Keep on drinking. And I thought it was the craziest thing until I read Psalm 23. And my granddaddy was actually fulfilling that his cup runs over. Amen. It was so, so awesome. So, God's idea is not barely enough hope to survive. He wants you to have so much hope that it spills into everyone around you. People see you, they get excited. Have you ever got around somebody that drains you? Are you sitting by them now? I just sent you away. Have you ever sat beside somebody and it drained you? Work with somebody and it drained you. And I got so tired of it because it seemed like that's the people they would put me with. So God gave me a solution. Be filled with hope. And when you got filled with hope, when you're around those people that drained you, what happened is you would drain over onto them and they would be lifted up. I was at work one day and there was a lady. She looked, honestly, she looked like and sounded like a man. She's big as a man. She's like this. And she cussed like a sailor. And she wound up being one of my bosses. And I hated being around her because whenever she got around me, she tried to make fun of me every chance she got. Because she knows I was a preacher. And she was trying to get a rise out of me to get me to attack her. And I would not do it. I was trying to stay calm. No matter how she attacked, I tried to stay calm. And one day we had a shutdown, and I had a special steel. And they wanted me to use my steel that day, and I was up 30 foot in the air with the JLG, and so there was only being there for two people. And they said, we need you to teach somebody today how to do what you do. I said, sure, I don't mind teaching anybody. Guess who they put in the car? For 12 hours with that woman. And before the shift started, I went in the bathroom and I said, God, are you punishing me? Have I done something wrong, God? Can you just take my life right now? I die right here on the toilet. And I went to work with her, and Daniel, hadn't been long, God had healed Daniel's cystic fibrosis. And so we get in that car, and here she goes. And I was thinking, God, please, put duct tape on her mouth, something. And then she spoke about somebody being sick in her family. And I said, nothing's too hard for God. And I told her a story about Daniel being sick and how they told us he was going to die before he was 17 and the man died in the hospital. And she stopped everything she was doing. She said, Timothy. And by the time I got through the story of Daniel and ripping the air, 30 foot air in the JLG, you know it bounces. She had that thing bounce, but she was just a shout. And before that day was over with, I'm not kidding, she kept saying, tell me more about God, tell me more. By the time that day was over, we come down, I thought she was going to be an evangelist. And from that day on, she became one of my best friends and became one of my best advocates. Because, watch, I didn't let her lack of hope take away my hope, but instead, my hope filled her cup, and I thank God for it. Amen? So look, watch this. Here it goes. I'm getting ready to close. I say, get ready. God doesn't give survival hope. He gives revival hope. Y'all say this to me. Say this out loud. God, I don't need survival hope. Say it. God, I don't need survival hope. God, I need revival hope. Say that.
God, I need revival
hope. Amen. Amen. We're bringing her in. We're bringing her in. Amen. Hope. I love it. Hold on. Pay hope. Hold on. Pain ends. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, hope has power. Real quick, hope is not positive thinking. It's not optimism. It's not self-help. It's Holy Ghost power. The Spirit of God breathes hope into your dry bones. The Spirit of God ignites hope in your dark valleys. The Spirit of God resurrects hope where hope has died. Hope is not human. Hope is the Holy Spirit power. Come on. Hope is not saying hope is not human. Come on. Hope is not human.
Hope is not human.
Hope is the Holy Spirit's power.
Hope is the Holy Spirit's
power. One day I had a guy come to me, one of my deacons came to me, I was in Benson, and we had a two-story church. And it was big, and it had a big old fellowship hall over the back, and there was bushes planted about every, I don't know how far apart, and they all had dead stuff in them, and every year they tried to cut out dead pieces kept them, it was just terrible, they looked terrible, looked like the Adams family house around, they were just, all these bushes, and they were about that high. And he said, Pastor, if you want me to fix those bushes, you won't ever have a problem again. I'll make them nice and pretty. I said, well, come on. And it was Saturday. I was in the church. I was in my office. I was working on Sunday morning message. And I heard a chainsaw crank up. And it room. And this is going around the church. Room. Room. I said, what in the world is that? And all those bushes were in a big old pile. He was burning them. I said, Michael, what did you do? He said, I fixed your bush problem. I said, Michael, then once you take them all down, he said, you're going to make them green again. He said, trust me. Wait till next year. And the next year came, and they were so beautiful, and they were so green, and I thanked him for it then, but when he first done it, I was not a happy camper. Watch this. Thou shall come a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Isaiah 11 and 1. I'm getting ready to close. A man cut down a dead tree and stumped in his yard. He thought it was gone forever, but months later, a green shoot started pushing through the stump. He said, I didn't bring it back. Life still grows in the roots. Some of you here might feel cut down, but there's still life in your roots. The Holy Spirit's about to make something new grow in you. You got to trust it. You got to trust it. Are you trying to manufacture hope? Are you letting the Holy Spirit move in you? So here we go. Here we go. We're closing. Let's see. BJ, you want to play some music? We're in the fight of our lives. We must resist, overcome, and defeat the enemy. Ready? A word for the wounded. So you've been living on the empty. Your tank is dry. Your spirit is tired. Your faith is thin. Your heart is heavy. Your biggest prayer is why? Why, God? Why is this happening? I thought I loved you, and I thought you loved me. And don't understand that God's doing something in you very powerful right now. You say, God of hope brought you here today to fill you again, not halfway, not partially, not barely, but to fill you with joy, all peace, to make you abound in hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you something that's not up here. It's not up here. How do you live in hope? You got a pencil, write this down. Number one, guard your focus. What you stare at shapes your hopes. Whatever it is that you got your mind on, whatever it is that you keep staring at, shapes your hope. And if you're staring at something that drives you crazy, it'll steal your hope. If you got a job you don't like, if you got a neighbor that you don't care much for, if you stare at what they're doing, it'll steal your hope. My hope's too important for anybody to take it from you. Not only guard your focus, guard your intake. Hope grows when you feed on the word, not on worry. Here's a biggie. Guard your circle. Who you hanging with? Wrong company. Steal your hope faster than anything. Guard your compassion. Speak boldly when you don't feel it. Guard your work. Work up is the oxygen of hope. Hope is not maintained by emotion. It's maintained by discipline. Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. You're the God of all hope, the God of all love, the God of all power, the God of all authority. Touch right now. Minister, Father, in the name of Jesus. Minister in a very powerful way. We trust you. We believe you, God. There's something special taking place right in our midst. Not because we feel it, but because we believe it and because we know it. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We know you. You got this, God. We trust you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we trust you. trust you. We trust you, God. You got this. You got this. You got this. You got this. You got this, God. You got it, Lord. We trust you. We're getting ready to listen. We're getting ready to say something special. Everybody together at one time. God, we got you, Lord. We know it. We know it, God. You got us. Thank you for hope. Somebody said thank you for hope.
Thank you,
thank you for hope. Thank you for hope. Ready? Okay, look up here. We're going to say this together. Our confession together. Let's see here. I want y'all to look up at this screen. I want y'all to say this with me. Ready? Ready? Say it with the Lord. Ready? This is a declaration of hope. My hope is not in what I see. My hope is not in who he is and who he is. My hope is not perishable. My hope is supernatural. My hope is overflowing. My hope is alive. My hope is rising now. Let's do it one more time. I want you this time to clap your hands and shout to the Lord. I pray to ready. My hope is not in what I see. My hope is in who he is. My hope is not fragile. My hope is supernatural. My hope is overflowing. My hope is alive. My hope is rising. God, good.
Thank you.
just how amazing and awesome you are. Let us come back next Sunday in your name.